All right. Welcome, everyone.
Everything good, I'm sorry.
All right, let's call it Scarface. We got a little extra scar for the beginning of this project. Okay. Seches Brachas is the beginning of Shas. Is that why we're starting here? Not sure, but it's a good place. It's definitely a good place to start. It's as good a place as any. But Maseches Brachos being the beginning of Shas is a little bit of a mystery in its own right. Shas is divided into six Sederim, Zrayim, Mayim, Nashim, Zikim, Kachim, Tarais. The first Seder is Zrayim. Zrayim is all agricultural mitzvahs, Peah, Klayim, Shriyas, Trumas, Maestras. Brachos really doesn't seem to fit in this Seder. So the Rambam in his Hakdama, Rambam is in his Pirush HaMishnayos, is always concerned with explaining the Seder of the Masechtos, why Rabbeinu HaKadosh arranged the Masechtos and the Sederim the way that he did. So the Rambam writes something very interesting. He says that, you know, Zrayim is really about food. Agriculture, Zrayim is agriculture. What's agriculture all about? It's about preparing food. He said that's why Zrayim comes first, because the rest of the Mishnayos are all about doing the mitzvahs of Hashem, but you can't do the mitzvahs of Hashem if you don't sustain yourself. So food comes first, diet comes first. So the Rambam says that's why Zrayim comes first. Then the Rambam says in the following paragraph, he says that since when you eat food, you have to make a bracha, so brachas comes at the beginning of Seder Zrayim. It's connected to Zrayim because the overall theme of Zrayim is really agriculture, is really food, and brachas ties into food because there's a bracha before you eat and a bracha after you eat. And then the Rambam continues, and he says that since, you know, we don't just make brachas on food, we also make brachas on mitzvahs, and every day we say we have tefillah and we have birchas kriyashma. So birchas kriyashma comes into this agav the brachas, which were agav the Zrayim. And once we're in Birchas Kriyas Shema, so we start with Shema. So the first Mishnah, Me'emes Ekerin Shema Ba'arvin, we begin with Kriyas Shema. It's a little bit of a agav of an agav of an agav, right? Really, we're in Zrayim, agriculture. Agriculture is about food. Food brings us to Brachas. Brachas brings us to Birchas Kriyas Shema. Birchas Kriyas Shema brings us to Kriyas Shema. And so that's why we start with Kriyas Shema. Now, those of you that have a full Gemara, meaning with the Mefarshim in the back, with the Rif in the back, something very interesting. If you turn to the back, in the Rif section, I don't think that Gemara is going to have it. No, that one's also not. This Gemara will have it. So in the Rif section, Daf Aleph of the Rif, in the top left-hand corner of the page, there's a commentary called the Shildi HaGibayrim, 1500s of Yeshua Bayaz. One of the really precious things about the Shulte Gibarim, it's a commentary that Yeshua Bayez wrote on the Rif, is that he had access to a lot of chidushim he apparently had access to a sefer on the many Masechtos, or all Masechtos maybe, that was written by the Riyaz. The Riyaz was one of the Gedali Rishonim in Italy in the 1200s, a couple of days after the Rambam. And most of his works have not survived. In recent years, some of his stuff has been unearthed and has been published. But for most of the generations, the only access that we really had to the Torah of the Riyaz was through the Shulte Gibayrim. So if you're turned over there, take a look. It says over here, Lashon Rabbeinu Yeshaya Achrein Zal. The Riyaz is called Rabbi Yeshaya Achrein because his grandfather, the Rid, was Rabbi Yeshaya Harishon. They were both Rabbanim in Italy. He was Rabbi Yeshaya Harishon, was called the Rid, and then two generations later, Rabbi Yeshaya Achrein. And he writes as follows: Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. Al Kain Hoyaseder Abisinu HaKadoshim Lahaschel Seder HaMishnah B'Yichudei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why Shas begins with Kriyas Shema is not agav of an agav of an agav, but it's because Rabbeinu HaKadosh started to put Kriyas Shema front and center because that's where it all starts. Reishis Chachma, the beginning of Chachma, Yiras Hashem. Beginning of Torah, Chachma of Yiras Torah, the beginning of Torah is Yiras Hashem. You can't go to learn Torah until you have Yiras Shemayim. Like the Gemara says that the Torah is is the inner gate, but Yerushalayim is the outer gate. You need the keys to the outer gate before you can get to the inner gate. Reishis Chachmi Yiras Hashem. And so Rabbeinu HaKadosh, essentially he was saying, you want to learn Shas? Okay, but first you have to get through Kabbalat HaMalach HaShemayim. And Kabbalat HaMalach HaShemayim, that's Kriya Shema. So the Hizchel Seder HaMishnah B'Yichudoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the oneness of Hashem V'Amru, and he says, Shachayev Adam Likrei Kriya Shema, that one has to read Kriya Shema L'Yachid Shemoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Kabbal HaMalach HaShemayim V'Oil Torah V'HaMitzvah Erev V'Vayikish Shemar V'Shach B'Chav V'Kumacha Ad Kan Lashem Yaz. Now, Rabbeinu, so he's, it's sort of the opposite Mahalach of the Rambam. Again, they're both coming to answer the same question. Why are we starting with Kriya Shema? And while the Rambam is trying to connect it to larger themes, the Riyaz says, no, it was put first because this is where it all starts. Kabbalat HaMalach HaShemayim, that's Kriya Shema, and then after that you can get into the rest of Shas. Rav Sadek HaKoyin, sort of along the same lines as the Riyaz, obviously Rav Sadek HaKoyin is much, much later, Rav Sadek HaKoyin writes that Brachos comes first, Brachos more globally, meaning as opposed to Kriya Shema in particular. But the reason why Brachos comes first, he quotes a pasuk in Devarei Hayamim, Da es Elokei Avicha ve'avdehu. Know Hashem your God and serve Him. First is knowledge of Hashem and then is serving Him. And he said Brachos really represents knowing Hashem. Every time you say a bracha, the second word of the bracha is supposed to make you stop and shudder. Baruch, what's the second word? Atah. When you say the word Atah, addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that you're picturing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there. You to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a key of Shavisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, that you're placing Him in front of you at all times. Every time that you say a bracha, B'lashon Atah, it's Mekayim Shavisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid. It makes you aware of Hashem. That's the Seid of Brachos, he says, is to go through your day and to go through life with an awareness that Hashem is right in front of you. The Gemara in Sukkah goes. It talks about the mitzvah of chinuch, and it's at the end of the third parak, Daf Mem Aleph, I think. There's a brisa that goes through the shir of chinuch for many different mitzvahs, and the theme of the brisa is that for each mitzvah, the chinuch starts when a child is old enough to do the mitzvah. So, for example, it says that the mitzvah of lulav is when the child knows how to do the nanum of lulav. That's when he becomes chayav in the mitzvah of lulav. And it says a similar shir for many mitzvahs. For a bracha, the Braisa says that when is a katan higia lechinuch for a bracha? When he's a yedeya lemimavarchin. When he understands who we're talking to. For any other mitzvah, like let's say for matzah, a child doesn't have to know who we're eating the matzah for. The mitzvah of shofar, he doesn't have to know who we're blowing for. He has to know how to blow the shofar to be chayav in the mitzvah. He has to know how to eat matzah to be chayav in the mitzvah. All the other mitzvahs, you're chayav in the mitzvah when you know how to do the mitzvah. But brachos, so the Kohen says, I see from there that a bracha, if you don't have an awareness of what it means to have Hashem in front of you, then you're not in the parasha of brachos. So brachos is about knowing that Hashem is there. That's the shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid, and that's why Shas starts with brachos.
Okay.
What's
the Zion
in Riyaz? Zaki? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. He's asking what does the Zion stand for in Riyaz?
It shouldn't be Riyaz at all.
Okay. Good question. A little razzle dazzle there. Okay, good question. All right, let's begin the Mishnah. Me'eim asai kairin es shema ba'arvin. So when do we read Shema in the evening? Me'eim asai, from when, meaning when's the tchilas hazman? Mishosh ha'kehanim nechnasim lacha b'chumasim. So there's a tricky line. Instead of giving a straight answer to the question, the Mishnah gives a complicated answer that you have to be a big Talmud Chacham to understand. It says, from the time that kehanim could resume eating Shema. What does that mean? It means a kohen, ordinarily a kohen is allowed to eat chuma. Nobody else is allowed to eat chuma. But for a kohen, there's a prerequisite that he has to be tahar. When a kohen becomes tummy, he can't eat chuma. Till when? Till he goes to the mikvah. Right. But, so that everyone knows. But what we don't know, unless we're a little more sophisticated in our knowledge, is that going to the mikvah is not enough. A kohen goes to the mikvah, and then he has to wait for that day to end. When it becomes night after the day that he went to the mikvah, then he's more fully tahar, and then he's allowed to resume eating chuma. So, and the Gemara at the bottom of the Amud will explain that when does that happen? That happens at Tzeitzik HaKavod. You go to the mikveh, let's say if he was Tami for 1 day, so he goes to the mikveh that day, or if he's Tami for 7 days, he goes to the mikveh at the end of 7 days. And then, when that, so that day he went to the mikveh, but he still isn't fully tahor. Then when it gets dark that night, that's when he's fully tahor. And the Gemara at the bottom of the Amud explains that that really means Tzeitzik HaKavod, when the stars come out, when it's dark enough that you can see the stars in the sky. So this law, is really a very sophisticated way of saying when the stars come out. So when are you allowed to start saying Shema in the evening? From Seisek HaChavim, ad, until, so there's a Tchilas Azman, and there's a Seif Azman. The Seif Azman is Seif HaShmur, Rishenei Divir Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds till the end of the first watch, the first section of the night. The night is divided into three sections. Each one is 4 hours. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying 4 hours into the night. Chacham say till midnight, that's 6 hours of the night. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel says that Shiala Amar HaShachar until the morning. In other words, all 12 hours of the night. So a three-way machlaik is about the Seif Azman.
Har Shemesh is Seif.
That's the discussion at the bottom of the Amud. Yeah, it means Seis HaKavim. The Gemara at the bottom of the Amud discusses whether it really means Shki or Seis, but ultimately we're going to come out that it means Seis HaKavim. So the Mishnah gave us two halachas. Atchilas HaZman, which has only one opinion, Seis HaKavim, and the Seif HaZman has three opinions. Let's put the Seif HaZman on the back burner. Let's focus on that very first halacha in the Mishnah. From when are you able to say Kriyishma at night? From Seis HaKavim. So over here, Rashi asks the kasha, and this begins the first real sugya in Shas, meaning the first discussion that the Rishonim get heavily involved in all of Shas, is this sugya, which begins with a question that Rashi raises, although our Gersa of Rashi doesn't raise it so explicitly, he doesn't speak it out quite as dramatically. Tosis quotes Rashi as asking it and answering it a little bit more dramatically. Let's take a look at the Rashi. The second Rashi, at Sefer Ashmur Rishayin, it's on the third line from the top of the page. That's going on the words of Rabbi Eliezer. Shlish Alayla, that's the third of the night. And Mefarish B'Gemara, the Gemara will explain. And Misham Ve'elech, after that, Avar Zman. The Zman has passed. Delay Mikri Su Zman Shchiva. It's no longer considered the going to sleep time. Like Karina Be B'Shach Pacha. And therefore, that's not considered B'Shach Pacha. All right, those two lines of Rashi are really on the Seif HaZman. And now Rashi says, Umikami hachinami loy, and to go earlier than the Zman that the Mishnah gave us is also not good. Nami lav Zman Shchiva. It's not considered the time of going to sleep. Lafikach ha-kerei kodim l'chein l'yotzei dechavase. Therefore, if anyone reads before Seis HaKavim, he's not Yotzei. Then frekt Rashi Akasha, Im Kain, Loma Kairin Oysu Beveis HaKnesses. So why then do we read it in Shul? So Rashi over here is indicating that, I guess you could say that he davened in the big shul. Rashi is indicating that the minhag in France in his time was that they didn't daven marav after Seis HaKavim. They didn't daven after it got dark. They davened earlier. From Rashi, it's not so clear exactly how early. When we will miss Shem, we're going to see more Rishonim. We'll maybe get a clearer picture. But it's clear from Rashi that they didn't think it was Seis HaKavim when they were davening Maariv. Maybe it was just starting to get dark. Maybe it wasn't getting dark at all. We could well imagine why they might have felt compelled to do that. Once upon a time, there was such a thing as dark. Nowadays, we really feel free and feel safe to travel at night. But once upon a time, when the sun went down and the sky got dark, so it was pitch black, and it was very dangerous to travel, and they didn't have well-paved streets, and they didn't have lights in the street. So people stayed home at night. The tzibur wanted to come together to daven. So, again, at least where Rashi lived at Rashi's time, they did it while it was still light, or at least partially light. So Rashi asks the question on his own minhag olam. He says, why are we reading Kriyat Shema in Shul? Notice he doesn't ask, why are we davening Maariv? That's an interesting question, which maybe could be addressed at a different point, but that's not the sugi right now. The sugi now is about Kriyat Shema. And Rashi says, when we daven Maariv, why are we saying Kriyat Shema? It's before this man. And Rashi says, oh, we're just doing that because it's an enhancement to our tefillah to have some divrei Torah before Shemayna Esrei. Other Rishonim make the comparison to, we do this by mincha. Right. Shacharis has a whole big thing, has a Kriya Shema and other things before Shemayna Esrei. Maariv has a Kriya Shema before Shemayna Esrei. Mincha is just a Shemayna Esrei, because right? There's an imbalance. We daven three times a day, but we say Kriya Shema twice a day. So two of our tefillahs have a Kriya Shema. One of them has no Kriya Shema. So Mincha, really, all it is a Shemayna Esrei. But we know that we don't daven like that. We don't just come into shul and say Shemayna Esrei. There's a Mincha before the Shemayna Esrei. Why is there a Mincha before the Shemayna Esrei? That you don't just plop into Shemayna Esrei. You have to sort of build up to Shemayna Esrei. Some Divrei Torah is an appropriate way to build up to Shemayna Esrei. So that's why we say Mincha before Shemayna Esrei. That's why we say Ashrei before the Shemayna Esrei of Mincha. So what Rashi's saying is, that's the same reason why we say Kriya Shema before the Shemayna Esrei of Maariv. Because we who daven, okay, we in France, Rashi's saying, or we in the big shul, I would add, that we daven Maariv before Tzeitzik HaChavim. So we're not saying Kriya Shema to do the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, because it's really too early to do the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So why are we saying Kriya Shema altogether? Same reason why we say Ashrei Mincha. It's Kedei Lamed B'Tfilah B'Toyich Divrei Teira. As Dr. Rashi, I'm not making this up. Hachitanya B'Brais B'Brachas Yushalmi. He says there's a Braisa in Brachas in the Yushalmi, a Braisa that's brought down in the Yushalmi. Now, before we continue with the Rashi, just a sort of an interesting aside about that line. Hachitanya B'Brais B'Brachas Yushalmi. First of all, it seems that that we're seeing a minhag ha'olam in France in the 1000s was not just France in the 1000s, but it was also Eretz Yisrael 1,000 years before that, if it's a Braisa recorded in the Yushalmi.
Yeah.
It's also, again, part of this interesting aside, is that Rashi quotes Yushalmi. It's a little bit of an interesting mystery that some people take an interest in as you go through Shas. When did Rashi have Yushalmi? When did Rashi not have Yushalmi? sort of in broad strokes, say that we have to keep in mind that in the Rishonim, they worked with a much smaller library than we have. Right? Rashi didn't have Otzar HaChachma, he didn't have HebrewBooks.org. And he had a very, very limited library. Meaning, you know, and the Baalei HaTosfos also, they worked with very, very limited libraries. He had a Shas Bavli.
What?
Everything is handwritten, of course. Everything is handwritten. And, you know, if your city has one copy, that's pretty good. He had a Shas Bavli. Probably where he lived, there was more than one copy of Shas Bavli. Did he have his own, or did people borrow the manuscript when they wanted to learn that Masechta? I don't know. But clearly, he had sufficient access to Shas Bavli to master it backwards and forwards and know it very well. But Yushalmi seemed to have had very limited access. And it's clear, again, there are people that study this and find, you know, can give you lists of proofs. It is clear that on some Masechtas, Rashi didn't have the Yushalmi. Some Masechtas, he did. Over here, we see that he had a Yushalmi of Brachas. That's again, an aside that's interesting about that line. But let's get back to the rest of the Rashi. Zuck Rashi.
Isn't this the break for Lifna Iver?
What's Lifna Iver?
It's Lifna Iver. You're setting up the Brachas before Krishna, Brachas after Krishna. But guess what? You're not Yitzhak Iver. This is like saying Ashri.
Right.
Everyone who daven this thinks, okay, they said Krishna, and they go home. They say, okay, I'm in Krishna, but they're not.
I wouldn't describe the Kasha as a Lifna Iver, but I would say that at this point, if we just pause over here in Rashi, so we don't, we're left without a keem of the mitzvah. I think that's really what's bothering you.
Most people will think they own a kind of mitzvah. They say, two brachas.
Okay, we need to, so we need to still address that. We need to still address that. Rashi, the brachas angle that you're bringing, we're going to see in I don't know if we'll see it tonight, but Tysus, but we need to see a little bit more of Rashi really before we can jump into that part of the discussion. We're still in the middle of a sentence. Zogt Rashi. So what's he done so far? Rashi started off with the question of why we say Kriya Shema by Maariv. It's we're not yet to the mitzvah. Then so Rashi said, you're right, we're not yet to the mitzvah then, but there are other reasons to say Kriya Shema. We say it just to enhance our tefillas arvis, but it's not really to fulfill the mitzvah. But now we're still, there's still a very burning question that Rashi hasn't addressed. So when do we fulfill the mitzvah? Well, there is a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema, to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. There's an obligation to do that. We go to shul, and like Donnie is pointing out, people think that they're doing that in shul, and they're really not. Ulefichach, Rashi says, and therefore, chayva aleinu lekreis mishatachshach. Every Jew has to know, every Jew in France that says their kriyishma, you know, that daven's too early to be eitz in the mitzvah, has to know that he still has to read kriyishma. But Zakt Rashi, but don't worry. It's not important to make a big announcement and remind everybody and you know, see to it that people go out of their way to do this because it's going to happen anyway. So Rashi, uva kriyas parsha rishona she'odam kirei al mitasai yatsa. Is that Rashi, every Jew knows that when you go to sleep at night, you say kriya shema. You don't go to sleep without saying kriya shema. That's called kriya shema al mita. And that kriya shema will fulfill your mitzvah. So even though, like, Dadi, you were pointing out that, you know, not every yid is a talmid chacham to know that I have to be zahir later on to do it again to be yid to the mitzvah. So actually, it's okay. The way the system is set up is going to work. Meaning everybody knows we go to shul, even the amaratzim. We go to shul, we daven. We come home, and when we go to sleep, we say krishma lamita. If you do, if you know that, which that apparently everybody that, you know, went through first and second grade, everybody knows that. So that's okay. You'll be yaitzeh with that. You won't be yaitzeh with the kriyishma and shul. Maybe some people think that's when they were being yaitzeh. But they'll end up being yaitzeh because everybody says kriyishma when they go to sleep because there's a very strong minhag of kriyishma alamita. And that's really when you yaitzeh. So it comes out a little bit ironic, right? If you ask people, I know you say kriyishma twice a night, and which is the main one, so maybe most people would think the one that I do in shul. Zakt Rashi, I have news for you. Really, that one is kind of a fake. The main one is the one that you do at when you're going to sleep. But it's okay. Everybody, it all works out in the end, because everybody does do the mitzvah kriyishma before they end up going to sleep.
Exactly. Just Rashi was shown,
excellent point. Yeah. Go ahead.
Even if you don't say it earlier, you're going to say it just for that.
Absolutely, right. Rashi, it's clear, black and white, that all you need for that is the parashah Rishayna. So now we're going to see Tosfos is full of kashas on this Rashi, and one of the kashas that Tosfos asks is, parashah Rishayna, Kriya Shema has three parashas long.
Kriya Shema Lamita. Because they have just the first part, because some they only have the first parashah, and some, you know, some Siddurim, they have all three parashas.
By Kriya Shema Lamita. Okay, but in their Siddurim, they only had the first parasha. Now, all of the Rishayim took it as a given that Kriyishma Lamita is only the first parasha. And Rashi is black and white. It's only the first parasha. So Tosfos, if you take a look in the Tosfos, okay, we're going to just go out of order just because Moshe is asking this question. If you take a look in the Tosfos, 6 narrow lines down. And the narrow line, 6 lines down, at the end of the line, it says Va'oid. Mm-hmm. So you see Tosfos in the middle of hammering away at this Rashi. It says Va'oid Kash. No, I'm sorry. Could do the third narrow line of Rashi, of Tosfos. And it's the first Kasha. By the way, if we start from the beginning and just read through the first 6 lines of Tosfos, 7 lines, it's just repeating, but a little bit more fully and dramatically what we just read in Rashi, that Rashi has a kasha, how we yaitz a kriya shema, and Rashi answered that we yaitz with a kriya shema lamita. And then Tosfos says, teima lepirushai. Teima means it's a wonder. I can't understand how Rashi could say such a thing.
Yeah.
The minhag ha'olam is that we just read the first parasha, the Im Kain, and if Rashi was right, that's really when we're being yetzei our mitzvah, sholish parashas ha'olam, then we should have been reading all 3 parashiyos. So that's one of the kashas that Tosfos asks on Rashi. We're not going to focus on that now, but
it's not Kriya Shema, it's not Shema Lamita then. It's a full Shema.
Right, and then that's not what Rashi was prescribing. Right? Rashi just said, everybody needs the first parasha, and that's good enough.
Kriya Shema Lamita, that's it. And here Tosfos says, but that's not Kriya Shema.
Right. That's Tosfos' kasha on Rashi, and just very briefly, you mentioned this kasha, we saw it inside. Let me just mention, we're not going to discuss this at length now, but later on, maybe at the beginning of the second perek, might be a long time until we get there. But one day we're going to get into a long discussion about the different parts of Kriya Shema, how essential each part is. We have 3 parashas of Kriya Shema. Are all 3 deraisa? Maybe only 2 are deraisa. Maybe only 1 is deraisa. Maybe possibly even less than 1 is deraisa. What exactly is the Kriya Shema deraisa? So the Shagas Aryeh it says that it would appear from Rashi that Rashi holds that Deiraisa is only the first parsha. Now that doesn't fully answer the question. Okay, that's Deiraisa, but still, but what about Midrabanan? I mean, there is an expectation that he's supposed to read all of Kishma. So believe that we're going to come. There's a very nice Shtikl Torah in the Shagas Aryeh that addresses this for another time. For now, here's what I want. What I want to bring out. Tell you, yeah, sorry, Donnie.
Is the sign at night? Is that Deiraisa?
It is. It is. That's another part of the discussion that we have to take up. That certainly when we're discussing, Donnie's asking, what about Zechiris Tzitzis Mitzrayim? That's really what we do with the third parasha.
That's so right.
According to Rashi, that where Yates was Kriya Shema Lamita. You know, let me just very briefly address the Shagas Aryeh has a very interesting shtickle about this. Let's back up a step. Interesting. We'll just
calibrate.
Yeah, I really want to focus tonight on the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos about how to answer Rashi's kasha. Yeah. But since Dani is bringing up this point about Zechiris Tzitzis Mitzrayim, let me just back up a step to point out something very important that we kind of glossed over. Me'ima say Kirin Shema Ba'arvin, right? And the Mishnah gives a Zman. When the Mishnah gives a bunch of Zman, when does the Zman start? When does the Zman end? How does Chazal decide all this? What's it based on? What's the underlying question? When Chazal asks, what's the Zman of Kriya Shema? How were they going about trying to figure out the Zman of Kriya Shema? It's based on a word in the Torah. It says in the Torah of Shach Becha, when you're going to sleep. And so Chazal is figuring out, what's the Zman of Shechiva? So what's striking here is that it's not, strictly speaking, Laila versus Yoim. It's Shechiva. Shechiva and Kima. Let's focus on the Kriya Shema Shel Arvus. Zman Shechiva. Maybe that's not exactly the same as the Zman of Yoim versus Laila. Now, again, we're not going to this at length now, but the Shagas Aryeh and others say, to address Dani's question, that yes, there's in the third parish of Kriya Shema, there's a mitzvah of Zechiris Tzitzis Mitzrayim, but that mitzvah doesn't have a din of Shach Becha. Right. That might have a din of Laila, and that could perhaps have an earlier Zman. We'll leave that there another time. We'll talk about that in more detail. Coming back to Rashi's question. Right? Rashi says that we here in France, we all daven ma'ariv way too early to be Yetzi Kriya Shema. So how are we Yetzi Kriya Shema? And Rashi said that, everybody says Kriya Shema later on when they're going to sleep, so that's good enough. As you saw, Tosfos is not satisfied with that. We're going to jump around a little bit in this Tosfos. If you take a look, right, we don't have to do it inside, but where it says Lachain Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam, that's probably about 15 lines down in the narrow lines. Rabbeinu Tam says, "Da Adaraba Kriya Shema Shel Beis HaKnesses Iker." This line, this is the essential. This is the heart of the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that the Zman that's given in the Mishnah is absolute. The Mishnah says, Seitzik HaKavim, you can't be Yaitzeh before Seitzik HaKavim. If you daven Mar before Seitzik HaKavim, you're not Yaitzeh. So how do you reconcile the Minig Olam? So Rashi says, we rely on Kriya Shema Lamita. Tosfos says, no. You could be Yaitzeh before Seitzik HaKavim. Your shul daven's very early, it's okay. You could be Yaitzeh Kriya Shema very early. Doesn't that go against the Mishnah? So Rabbeinu Tam says that, yeah, that's true. It's against our Mishnah, but there are other opinions. Now, Tosfos is going to quote Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, different ways of approaching this. But first, let's just pause and notice what just happened here. This is the opening line of the opening Mishnah of the opening Masechta of Shas. Me'im is a Karen Shema Ba'aris Mishosh Hakanam Nechelsim Lachah B'Shumasan, and it's taught as a Stam Mishnah. And the Baal Yetzis is coming and say, we don't pass it like that Mishnah. Which, we know that that kind of thing happens all the time. You know, when you learn Mishnayis, you learn Gemara, you're not learning, or you can't deduce bottom line halacha lemaisa from learning Mishnayis and Gemara. There's always a lot of discussion that follows, and you may learn a piece of Gemara, and it seems to you that the halacha would be clear in a certain direction. But if you go through the Rishonim and the Achronim, they might have, asked a kasha from a different Gemara or something within that Gemara that forces them to reinterpret, and then you might be surprised by what the bottom line halacha is. But it just it's striking, I think, that that happens in the very first Mishnah in Shas, the very first line of the first Mishnah. We have a Mishnah here that says that the Zman of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis begins at Tzitzit Kechavim, and Tosfos says, but we don't paskin like that. Okay, so what does Tosfos say? What's the halacha? What do we paskin like? So Tosfos says that the Sukkot over here is a Mishnah on Daf Chavav. Now, Rabbeinu Tam needs to say a very big chiddush to produce this pshat. There's a Mishnah Daf Chavav where it talks about the Zman of Tfilas Mincha, which seems very removed from what we're talking about. So we have the Zman of Tfilas Mincha. Till what time do you have a Mincha? And it says over there that the Tanakam of the Mishnah says Ad Ha'erev, till evening. Well, let's assume that means till it becomes night. And Rabbi Yehuda says Ad Plag HaMincha.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda says till Plag HaMincha. What's Plag HaMincha? Plag HaMincha means, Plag literally means half. It's half of the time between Mincha Katana and the end of the day. So that means an hour and three quarters before the end of the day. On a typical day where it gets dark, let's say it's 6 o'clock, so that would be at 4:15. There's some Zman in the late afternoon called Plag HaMincha. Rabbi Yehuda, now it's mentioned in Shas in connection, or in a Mishnah in connection with Mincha. Rabbi Yehuda holds that's the Zman of Mincha. Now, so far, Rabbi Tam seems to, be pursuing a long shot because that's just Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara, in that Mishnah, it says in the Chachamim, say out of air, Rabbi Yehuda says Plag HaMincha. But Rabbi Tam points out that the Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin says on this machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Ovid Kemar Ovid, u the Ovid Kemar Ovid. If you do like him, you did good, and if you do like him, you did good. Meaning that this is a machlokes where you're allowed to follow whichever opinion you want. Usually we have rule Yochid Rabbim Halacha Karabim. You'd expect a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Ordinarily, the Halacha would be like the Chachamim, but the Gemara says, maybe when we get there,
right,
that's a long way off. Maybe when we get there, we'll discuss a little bit more why the Gemara says that. But the Gemara over there says that this is a machlekes where Yehuda's sheet is an acceptable sheet to la halacha. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that still doesn't do us so much good. That's talking about Tfilas Mincha. Dr. Benu Tam, but it's clear in the Gemara that whatever is your Zman for Tfilas Mincha, that will affect your Zman for Tfilas Arvis. Because Arvis begins when Mincha ends.
Right.
So the Chachomim who say that Mincha is Ad HaErev, so then Ma'ariv is starting from the Erev. But Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Mincha is Ad Plag, then it'll follow that Ma'ariv begins from Plag.
Right.
So, which means even though it's still broad daylight, it's still an hour, more than an hour and a half before it even begins to get dark. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's when the Zman of Ma'ariv begins. So again, we started off with a Mishnah that says Rabbi Yehuda holds that's an acceptable time to daven Mincha. Rabbeinu Tam says, and this he shows clearly from the Gemara, that if it's an acceptable, if that's the Seif HaZman for Mincha, then that's the Tchilas HaZman for Ma'ariv. So that makes it, after Plag is an acceptable time for Ma'ariv. Even though it's only one man's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara says, Da'ovi Kamar Rabbi, you're allowed to follow Rabbi Yehuda. So Dr. Benu Tam, that solves our problem. We, all of our shuls that daven Ma'ariv before it gets darkest, before Tzitzit Kechavim, that's okay. Because we're following Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The Gemara said you're allowed to follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It's not like our Mishnah, true. But we're allowed to follow Rabbi Yehuda Shita and consider it nighttime starting from Plag HaMincha. And like that, we're yaitz in the midst of Kriya Shema.
But again, the Tfilas HaShachar, That parak, fourth parak, is going on Tfilo, which is only Durabonin.
Excellent point.
And this is Duraisa.
Okay.
So to mix the two.
So this is a big kasha. This is Tosis's kasha on Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, each point is getting anticipated. This is wonderful. You see that all of this is so contested in the Rishonim. Well, one step at a time. Rabbeinu Tam's Yisoid is that we are Yaitze Kriya Shema at our early Ma'ariv because we're relying on Rabbi Yehuda Shita that it becomes nighttime at Plag HaMincha. Tosfos Akasha Rabbeinu Tam, he says, but you're mixing up two different mitzvahs. Right. There is a mitzvah of Kriya Shema and there's a mitzvah of Tefillah.
Yeah.
Tefillah has Mincha, has Ma'ariv. Mincha is in the daytime, Ma'ariv is in the nighttime. What's the cutoff between Mincha and Ma'ariv? One opinion says that it's a Plag HaMincha, fine. That's a discussion about when the Zman for Tfilas Arvah starts.
Yeah.
This mission is not about Tfilah. This mission is about Kriya Shema.
Right.
Now, you know, to many of us, you know, as sort of as lay people that approach things, you know, from the Siddur, which is a fine way to approach things, that we tend to put these together. Right? We daven Ma'ariv at night and it includes the Shemayna Esrei and a Kriya Shema. We daven Shachris in the morning and it includes the Shemayna Esrei and a Kriya Shema. But from a lumdisha perspective, these are really two totally separate mitzvahs, and we do them together because they, you know, as we'll see going on in the parak, there are reasons why they go nicely together. Smichas gula l'tfila, but they're really two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema and there's a mitzvah of tfila. So Tosfos says, "Can Rabbeinu Tam, aren't you mixing apples and oranges by bringing in your Rabbi Yehuda shita? Rabbi Yehuda has a shita about the zman of tfila. Tfilas Arvah starts from Plag HaMincha." But we're discussing the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And like we just said before,
so that
the
should mitzvah come out like the Chachamim.
The mitzvah of Kriya Shema, its Zman is telling on Uvshachbacha. Yeah. Uvshachbacha is not relevant to Tfilas Arvah. So Tfilas Arvah, you could say, is telling on Erev, Laila, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that's considered Laila from Plag HaMincha. Fine. But it's not considered Uvshachbacha from Plag HaMincha. So why would Rabbi Yehuda... Tosfos actually refuses to accept Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos, if you take a look, let's see. I'm sorry, it's not Tosfos' kasha. In fact, this is the Rush's kasha. The Rush, in the very first siman in the Rush, I think Yoga Gemara does have Rush, by the way. In the very first siman of the Rush, he brings down, of course, Rashi's question, Rashi's answer, Tosfos' questions on Rashi, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, he brings down Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, and then he says that he's not happy with Rabbeinu Tam's pshat because he says, V'loyne hirali, he says, it doesn't seem correct to me, Mashahevi is at the beginning of the second column, on the second line of the second column, V'loyne hirali Mashahevi Rabbeinu Tam zal raya mitfilas ha-mincha, shu ha-plag ha-mincha, it doesn't seem correct, where Rabbeinu Tam says that you could bring a raya from mincha, the tfiloy is connected to midim tiknum, v'tam mid ha-yikar v'haylach ha-plag ha-mincha, av'loynin kriya shema, lav zman shchiva hu. Says Kriya Shema is totally on Zman Shechiva. This is not Zman Shechiva. Right. Tefila has its own Zman. I'm fine. He can have his own opinion about when's the Zman of Tefila, but it's not the Zman of Kriya Shema. So you have this Rabbeinu Tam. The other Balei HaTosfos did not accept Rabbeinu Tam. There's a second question. This is very important. Even though we kind of slugged up Rabbeinu Tam already, or we expressed why most Rishonim don't want to accept Rabbeinu Tam, but there's another question on Rabbeinu Tam, which is very important to mention, and this Tosfos does raise. And that is that even if we accept Rabbeinu Tam's premise that Plag HaMincha is a legitimate Zman for Kriya Shema. Let's say we can mix together Tefillah and Kriya Shema, and if it's a Zman for Tefillah, it's a Zman for Kriya Shema. Let's grant him that. But there's another objection. You're saying that our schedule of davening works according to Rabbi Yehuda. And you're saying, right, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the cutoff is Plag HaMincha. And you're saying that it's acceptable to follow Rabbi Yehuda because the Gemara says, Da'avid Kamar Avid, Da'avid Kamar Avid, you're allowed to follow whichever opinion you want. You want to follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That would all be very nice if we were really following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion fully. But to follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion would mean that you have to daven Mincha before Plag HaMincha. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Zman of Mincha ends early. Right? Rabbi Tam is bringing in Rabbi Yehuda as if he's a great makel because he allows you to daven Mariv and say Kriya Shema much earlier. But he's also a big machmir because he insists that you finish your Mincha much earlier. He insists that you finish Mincha before Plag HaMincha and then daven Mariv. But that's not what they were doing. In these shuls in France where Rashi davened and the Balei HaTosfos davened, where they observed that they were saying Kriya Shema before Tzitzik Chavim, what were they doing? They were coming to shul at the end of the day, after Plag HaMincha, they were davening Mincha, and then Ma'ariv.
Right?
Just kind of similar to what we do.
Right.
They were davening Mincha, and then immediately after they were davening Ma'ariv, they weren't waiting for Tzitzik Chavim.
Yeah.
But it was way after Plag HaMincha.
Right.
If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then you have to daven Mincha before Plag HaMincha. To daven Mincha after Plag, which means that you're following the Chachamim, and then daven Ma'ariv and Kriya Shema before Tzitzik Chavim, which means that you're following the Chachamim, they call that Tarti Desastri. Two things that contradict one another. Tarti means two, Desastri that contradict one another. So Tosfos, the Rosh, they both ask this Kasha, that even if we would grant Rabbeinu Tam his lumdas, that you could have a zman of Kriya Shema starting from Plaga Mincha, you would have to be consistent and daven Mincha before Plaga Mincha. But since nobody does that, so we're grabbing onto both opinions where it's convenient. We're using Rabbi Yehuda's opinion where it's convenient from Arab, while simultaneously relying on the Chum's opinion where it's convenient, which is for Mincha. That's a Tarti Disastri. Now, I would point out, though, that... What?
They didn't use Shkia as a Kara?
Excellent, Tara. So far, no mention of Shkia. We're going to see Bumi Nader. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but Rabbeinu Yaina brings Shkia Zachama into this discussion. So far, that's not mentioned yet. I think it's worthwhile to mention that although, like I said, all the Rishonim make this objection against Rabbeinu Tam, there's a difference between the way Tosfos asks it and the way the Rosh asks it. Tosfos says... Taisus basically considers this like a fatal flaw in Rabbi Nutam's Kasha, Dahavi Kitre Kuli, the Sasra Nahadati. He says you're just contradicting yourself. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that. Al Kena Marie. So Taisus presents it as if it's an upslug of Rabbi Nutam. In the Rush raises the same objection, but I would call it in a much gentler tone. The Rush says, you know, Rabbi Nutam seems to think that you could use this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda even when it's a Tarati Disastri. Not so pashut. Maybe you have to be consistent. In the Rush, he sounds like, not that this is a flaw in Rabbeinu Tam, but more that it's a big chiddush, a debatable point in Rabbeinu Tam. I make this distinction because, as everybody knows, right, we're kind of like, you know, in this discussion, ignoring the elephant in the room. You know, in many shuls nowadays, including in our shul, when it comes to Friday night, maybe the other days of the week also, that we still have to see, but when it comes to Friday night, our 7 o'clock minyan, we really do this. We have this Tarti Disastri, and it, certainly it's against what Taisa says, but what it relies on is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. That all the shuls that do this are relying on the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam felt that it's okay to do a Tarti Disastri. That all that is included in the statement Da'avid Kamaravid or Da'avid Kamaravid, that you're even allowed to pick and choose and do each one when it's convenient. And as the Rosh says, it's surprising, but okay, that's how Rabbeinu Tam held. So Rabbeinu Tam has a Shita that we're not concerned about Tarti Disastri. Many of the other Rishonim are concerned, and that's why this is not an ideal way to set up a schedule. But those shuls that have such a schedule, what are they relying on? They're relying on Shita Rabbeinu Tam. That's not concerned with Tarti Disastri. Now, continuing with the Tosfos. So Tosfos, again, Tosfos brought Rabbeinu Tam, who wanted to justify the minhag ha'olam that we daven too early based on Rabbi Yehuda Shita of Plaga Mincha. Tosfos says he doesn't like that because of the Tarti Disastri problem. So Tosfos then says that the Ri gave a different teretz, which was kind of similar, meaning along the same lines as Rabbeinu Tam, that we really are Yaitse in Shul. Even though it's before Tzeis Chavim, it's okay because we're relying on other Shitas. But his other Shitas are not the Rabbi Yehuda of Daf Chavav, which is an extremely early Shita, but actually Braisa that appears right here on Daf Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara brings a Braisa with a whole lot of opinions that it seems very within a few minutes. I'm just going to very quickly read through the Braisa. It's about two-thirds of the way down or three-quarters of the way down on Amud Beis. The last word on the line is Raminhu, and then it says Me'imas Amaschin Likre Shema Ba'arvin Misho Shekidesh Hayoyim Ba'arvish Shabbosais. From the time that it becomes Shabbos on Friday, Divya Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Oyimer, Rabbi Yeshua says Misho Shekahanim B'Toharim Lecha B'Chumasam. That's the same Zman that we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Oyimer, Misho Shekahanim Toivlim Lecha B'Chumasam. Rabbi Meir says, no, it's from the time that not the Kahanim become what to teach him, but from the time that they go to the mikvah. I, Rabbi Yehuda, objects to it. Let's skip a line. And Rabbi Chanino Oyimer, Misho Sha'oni Nichnas Lechol Pitei B'Melach. It's supper time for the poor man. Seems the poor man would eat a little bit earlier. Rashi says he was saving money on the fuel. Rabbi Choy, Barmel Rabbi Acha, Oyimer, Misho Sha'oi V'nei Adam Nichnas M'lahasev. It's supper time for ordinary people. Earlier on the Amud, there was a different braisa that had one opinion about when ordinary people eat on Friday night, which apparently is earlier than when they would eat on other nights of the week. So a whole, okay, Mr. Shem, we'll learn on the base, we'll try to maybe learn this a little bit more fully, but Taisa says, you see over there on Amud Beis that although this Mishnah says one Zman, but the Brayso over there said that's Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, and a lot of other time had other Zmanim, and all of those Zmanim were a little bit earlier. It weren't drastically earlier, but we were a little bit earlier. And the implication of Taisa is, that's what we need, because our shuls were not davening an hour before it got dark, they were davening a little bit before it got dark. And it wasn't quite Tzedek Rabim yet, but it was almost. And they're relying on...
What
you're
saying is Benish Mashis?
Well, he doesn't use that term. No, he's saying that you don't need Tzedek Rabim. And
so it's early. It's after Shkia, but before Seitz, you're saying.
All he's saying is that it's before Tzedek.
After Shkia.
So when we get there, we'll try to maybe pin it down better. I would say now, let's be careful not to say anything that it doesn't say. Right? Let's not say anything that it doesn't say explicitly, because it's not so clear. It's not so clear. But what Taisa says is clear is that there are earlier Zmanim than the Zman of the Mishnah. And our shuls are davening after those earlier Zmanim. And it's true, it's not like our Mishnah, but it relies on the other Zmanim. Okay, so within Taisvis, we had Rabbi Nutam, and the Rabbi Nutam said that we're relying on a drastically earlier Zman. The Re says we're relying on a slightly earlier Zman. But let's think about what they have in common. All the Balei Taisvis, Rabbi Nutam and the Re, are both saying that we're Yaitse with the Kriya Shema and Shul. We said Kriya Shema and Shul, and with that we're Yaitse. That's in contrast to Rashi, who says that if the Mishnah tells us Tzedek Chavim, you cannot be Yaitse a minute before Tzedek Chavim, and if your shul davens too early, you're not Yaitse in shul. So how are you Yaitse? Only by repeating Kriya Shema later. Right. So why aren't we telling everybody to repeat Kriya Shema later? Oh, because they're doing it anyway because of Kriya Shema Lamita. So that's the fundamental machlekes Rashi and Taisis. According to Rashi, you're only Yaitse after Tzedek Chavim.
Right.
According to Taisis, you could really be Yaitse even before Tzedek Chavim.
Right.
Now, most Rishonim agree with Rashi. The opinion of Rashi, the opinion of Rav Rishonim, including the Rosh, right, who's in the back of the Gemara, Rabbeinu Yoina, who's further in the back of the Gemara, right, just to be a little bit acquainted with the cast of characters here. In the back of the Gemara is the Rif, and the commentary around the Rif on Maseches Brachos is Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina. Most Masechtists have other people there around the Rif, but Maseches Brachos is something special. There's a commentary from Rabbeinu Yoina that's there in the back of the Gemara. The Rosh, Rabbeinu Yoina, the Rashba, all of them agree with Rashi that these Kedushim of Taisis, again, Rabbeinu Tam, we spoke out the difficulties with Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat, the Tarkta Desasri problem, the difference between Zman Kriyishma and Zman Tefillah, a lot of reasons why other Rishonim didn't like Rabbeinu Tam's Chiddush. The Riz Chiddush escaped from those problems, but I think the main objection to him, well, you know, first of all, who says that we pass on like those Tanoim on Amud Beis rather than the Stam Mishnah on Amud Aleph? But furthermore, he really only was Marviach a few minutes. And, you know, maybe in his town that was good enough, but there were lots of places where they davened even earlier than that. So the most Rishonim didn't like the approaches of Taisvis and agreed with Rashi that you really need to say Kriya Shema after Tzedek Rabim. On the other hand, Rashi's pshat had its own liability, like Taisus pointed out, that, you know, Rashi says we're relying on Kriya Shema Lamita. Taisus said that Kriya Shema Lamita, people only say the first perek. Taisus said that some people don't even say Kriya Shema Lamita. The Rabbi Nuyana adds some other problems somebody was mentioning before, that if really people our misunderstanding, like the implication of Rashi was that even though people don't really chop the lumdas, they think that they're important Kriya Shema's in shul. Really, they're important Kriya Shema's later, but it's okay. Everybody ends up saying Kriya Shema. But Rabbi Yehuda says, but you have to know when you're doing it because Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. So yeah, if everybody thinks that their real Kriya Shema is in shul, and when they're going to sleep, it's just a Kriya Shema Lamita,
right,
they're not having Kavana to be Yaitse them. So for these reasons, they don't quite like, they agree with Rashi that you need a Kriya Shema after Tzedek Chavim, but they don't quite like Rashi's solution of just relying on Kriya Shema Lamita. So what emerges from Rabbeinu Yoina, from the Rashba, is that you're supposed to make a separate Kriya Shema after Tzedek Chavim. You're supposed to tell all the people, educate the people to know that the Kriya Shema that we're saying in Shul is not good enough, and you have to say Kriya Shema again at home. And not just the Kriya Shema Lamita. All three parashas of Kriya Shema with Kavanah to be Yaitzeh, you have to do all of that when you get home. And so it seems that, you know, Rashi and Tezis were both trying to justify that what was being done already was good enough. How were they living in France? What was everybody doing? They davened in shul and they went home and they said Kriya Shema and they were going to sleep. And somehow or another they were being Yaitzeh. So Rashi said with the Kriya Shema Lamita and Tezis with the Kriya Shema and shul. And what the other Rishonim said is, no, you know what? If that's all you're doing, that's just not good enough. And we have to make an improvement in the Minhag HaOlam. And that, you know, in the times of Chazal, they surely weren't doing it like you're doing it in France. They were doing it more in a more sophisticated way. When they got home, they would, even before starting supper, they would say another Kriya Shema with Kavana, with all three parashiyos. Then Rabbeinu Yaina. So now I would say we have three Mahalchim and Mishainim. You know, we have the essential divide between Rashi and Tosfos. Are we Makbid on Tosfos Kavim or are we not Makbid on Tosfos Kavim? Tosfos says, we don't have to be Makbid on Rashi, we're Makbid. We saw already that within Tosfos there's two Mahalchim, there's Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Now within Rashi's Shita, also there's two Mahalchim. There's Rashi, who says just rely on Kriya Shema Lamita, and there's the other Rishonim that say, no, you have to have a separate Kriya Shema that's designated for this purpose of being Yaitzeh in the Mitzvah, and you should say the whole thing. Now, Rabbeinu Yaina starts a fascinating discussion within that Shita. He says, but what about the Brachos? The Brachos we said at home, we said in Shul earlier, and now at home we're saying Kriya Shema without a Bracha. So Rabbeinu Yaina really breaks it down into two kashas. He says, I have a problem with the brachas that we say in shul. How can we say those brachas if it's not a real Kriya Shema? We're not really being Yaitzeh. How can we make brachas on a fake Kriya Shema? And I also have a problem with the Kriya Shema that we have at home. How can we say Kriya Shema without a bracha? If Chazal were masaking brachas for a Kriya Shema.
Right.
So Rabbeinu Yaina says something very fascinating. He brings down that the Goinim discussed this and Rav Amram Goin lived in Babel in the 900s. And Rav Amram Goin said that, which it just interestingly, that means that this was being discussed before Rashi and Tosfos. This problem that we're not really setting up our schedule correctly was discussed before Rashi, before Tosfos, in the 900s. Rav Amram Goin in Babel, he said, that when you get home and you repeat Kriya Shema, before you begin, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elikeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Likrei Kriya Shema. And then you say Kriya Shema.
Wow.
Which is, we're all familiar with the bracha of Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav Likrei as a Halel. And we have a bracha Al Mikra Megillah. There's a bracha Likrei Kriya Shema. Now, why don't you say that bracha by Shachris, by Maariv? Because you have other brachas. In other words, really, Kriya Shema always needs a bracha. Just like the mitzvah of Halal and the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah and the mitzvah of Matzah and the mitzvah of Shefer all need brachas. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema always needs a bracha. But we don't make brachas ordinarily because we have other brachas. Since we're saying the bracha of Ava Rabba or Avas Olam, that serves the role of a bracha on the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But if you're saying Kriya Shema at home without your Ava Rabba, without your Avas Olam, then it needs a bracha. So you say, Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Likrei Kriya Shema. That's what he quotes from Rav Amram Goin. And then he says that Rabbeinu Yaina said Ein Zeh Nachon Shebracha Zoylu Matzinu Oiza.
Who's Ein Zeh Nachon?
Rabbeinu Yaina.
Okay.
He quotes that Rav Amram Goin said this, and then Rabbeinu Yaina says Ein Zeh Nachon. This is not correct. Don't accept this. Sheloy Matzinu Shein Shebracha Zoylu Matzinu Oisa B'Shem Makom. Said I don't find this bracha anywhere. And this we'll see is going to be a recurring theme. Through the Masechta, that or a recurring debate, are you allowed to make up new brachas? We have brachas that we have from Chazal, the brachas on food before, after the brachas.
Maybe in Bible they have a bracha.
Oh, are we allowed to introduce brachas that don't appear in the Gemara? And this is a big debate, and it comes up in a lot of different places in a lot of different contexts. And here's one of them. Rabbeinu Yonah brings down that Rav Amram Goin allowed people to make a bracha on Kriya Shema at home. In other words, he sort of made up a bracha. He said, look, we know what brachas and mitzvahs are supposed to sound like. We have a lot of other mitzvahs where we make a bracha for eating matzah, for putting on tefillin. So we know how to use the formula, and we make up a bracha for Kriya Shema. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, you're not allowed to make up brachas. Chazal told us where there are brachas, and if you don't find the bracha in Chazal, you can't make up such a bracha. So what does Rabbeinu Yonah recommend? Rabbeinu Yonah says that he maintains, like Rav Amram Goin thought, that Kriya Shema needs a bracha. If I'm not going to let you say the bracha of Asher Kedushanu M'Seis Tzvanu, you know what you do? You say the bracha of Avos Olam. The bracha of Avos Olam, even though you said it in shul with your marav, when you get home and you're repeating Kriya Shema, you say the bracha of Avos Olam. It says Avos Olam is a bracha on Kriya Shema. We use it twice a day. Let's use it a third time. So Rabbeinu Yonah says you make a bracha of Avos Olam before you repeat Kriya Shema at home. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah's bottom line. So we have in this Rabbeinu Yonah, we have two opinions about what kind of a bracha to make on this Kriya Shema at home. Now, I think everybody is aware that halakha l'maaseh, we don't follow either of those. Even though that Rabbeinu Yonah, that's his bottom line. He says that you should make the bracha of Avos Olam. But the other Rishonim disagree and say that the Rashba disagrees. And this discussion is really a big discussion that at the end of the first parak, we're going to get into B'li Neder. But the Rashba says that really Kriya Shema doesn't have a bracha. That which we, you know, not all mitzvahs have brachas. We know that on some brachas we do make mitzvahs, but there are some brachas that we do on some mitzvahs we make a bracha, but there are some mitzvahs that we do that we don't make a bracha. And Kriya Shema is a mitzvah that does not require a bracha. We make a bracha when we say it in shul, we say the birchas Kriya Shema. Rashba's birchas Kriya Shema is not a birchas mitzvah at all. It's a different, it plays a different role, which again we'll talk about more at length some other time later in the parakur. But the Rashba says Kriya Shema doesn't need a bracha. And that Rashba really brings us to, I guess, the bottom line la halacha. We do need to repeat Kriya Shema when we get home. We don't rely on the Kriya Shema that we said in shul if we daven before Tzitzit Kachavim. We don't rely on Kriya Shema Lamita. So we need to say Kriya Shema when we're home. And that Kriya Shema doesn't need a bracha, because the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, unlike many other mitzvahs, doesn't need a bracha. So you say that Kriya Shema without a bracha. Okay, so to sum up in a nutshell, I guess we'll stop here for tonight. But we covered an inyan. This is the first big sugyan rishonim in Shas. So all the Rishonim were troubled by the practice in their days that they davened Maariv too early to be Yetzir the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So we have Tosfos Mahalach that you really could be Yetzir the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema before Tzitzit Kachavim, contrary to what it says in the Mishnah. All the other Rishonim disagree and say, no, you can't be Yetzir Kriya Shema before Tzitzit Kachavim. Rashi says, so we rely on Kriya Shema Lamita. The other Rishonim say, no, you can't rely on that. So what Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba and the Rush recommend is saying Kriya Shema for the designated purpose of being Yotzei when you're home. Some Rishonim said that requires a bracha. The Rashba said you could do that without a bracha, and halacha l'maaseh, that's what we follow. Okay.
So